They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Bad news in China, bad news in oil, and we are looking for a silver lining. From APM in New York, I'm Molly Wood in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. On Wall Street, analysts are digesting ongoing problems with the Chinese market, not to mention oil. For some thoughts on what's happening, we called up our regular Tuesday guest, Julie Nieman, an analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Julie, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
So we've heard a lot of various reports this week, and a lot of them seem to reference China, especially when they're a little bit down. They talk about decreased demand in China. How much is China turning out to be a chokehold for the rest of the market?
China has always been the big commodity buyer at the margin. But now with slow growth, they've got enough. They've got it piled high and deep. But when you don't have that extra purchasing in the commodities market, it's continuing its huge free fall. And we're looking at commodities right now as probably continuing a four-year plunge in pricing here. So this is a true commodity-driven free market, and it's going down further. Supply and demand.
Right. Well, and speaking of supply and demand, we're seeing big drops in oil prices. Where do you think we're headed there?
Well, this is just ugly. You know, at this point, the energy sector is down about 15%. You're looking at U.S. crude this morning at $45.17 a barrel. I think it's going to 40. Everybody's kind of forgotten oil is not black gold. It's just a commodity, and it is going to respond to supply and demand here. Now, the bad news is it is really tagging the S&P index, so that's making the stock market look a lot worse than it really is.
Julie, this is a kind of gloom and doom. Are there any bright spots on your horizon?
The bright spots on the horizon is the economy is continuing to grow. And lower energy prices are a huge boon for the U.S. consumer. People will start spending more. And the job situation actually is not looking bad at all. So it's a big positive.
Great. Julie Nieman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. Julie, thank you so much.
You bet.
Earnings today, CVS reported better than expected numbers this morning on revenues of more than $37 billion. The company has lately been branding itself less as a convenience store and more as a healthcare company. No more cigarettes, for example. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has more on how that strategy is playing out.
The pharmacy counter was put in the back of a CVS for a reason. Charles Ree is an analyst with Cowen and Company.
They're hoping that on your way out, you're going to realize, hey, I need some toothpaste, or maybe I'll buy a newspaper and, you know, there's some gum at the front. And all of those are actually higher margin products than actually picking up drugs.
Now, the company is investing in actually providing health services. It's taken over the pharmacy counter at hundreds of Target stores. CVS bought Omnicare, a company that provides prescription drugs to long-term care facilities. And for years, it's been expanding walk-in clinics in its stores.
Convenience care or the retail care is going to be one of the biggest growth drivers in the next decade.
That's Mohan Naidu. He's an analyst, a health industry analyst with Oppenheimer. He says that growth is coming because lots of people are getting pushed into high deductible plans by their employers. And
the cost is definitely significantly lower going to a retail clinic than actually going to a physician office.
And maybe you'll still pick up a pack of gum on the way out. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
A handful of major cities in the U.S. are deciding that when local government pays for big construction projects, it should also hire more local workers. The trend has faced fierce pushback from the construction industry, but the city of Nashville votes Thursday on whether to become the latest with a so-called local hire amendment. From WPLN in Nashville, Emily Siner reports.
John Finch is the co-founder of PBG Builders, and he's taking me on a tour of one of his construction sites in Nashville.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
He says there are several dozen workers here on any given day, from up to 25 subcontractors.
We had one contractor do all the excavation work, another contractor do the concrete work.
If the local hire amendment passes, companies like his would have to make sure that 40% of the work hours on job sites go to Nashville-Davidson County residents. Not on all construction projects, but those that are funded by Metro government and cost more than $100,000. We start walking around this site to take an unofficial poll.
We're just curious. Where do y'all live?
Where do we live?
Yeah, I live in Cheatham County.
I live in McMinnville.
In Nashville?
Oh, like two blocks down the road.
Oh, good.
About half the guys we talk to do live in Nashville, but Finch says this isn't typical.
If the job had been fully staffed during this walkthrough and interview, I really think you would have found 20-25% of the total would be Davidson County.
And he says there's already a worker shortage.
We all need good workers. They're not there.
There are people out here, especially black and brown people, that have pretty much give up.
Roger Liggins Sr. is a general contractor who does support the amendment.
They've applied and applied and applied and applied, and I'm hoping that this amendment, if it passes, is a spark to them to say, hey, I can now get a job because they got to hire locally.
But Ligon runs a small shop, and he says he understands the concerns of big contractors.
If I were their size, even though I look like me, I'd be against it because I'd feel like it was an impossible task for me.
San Francisco instituted a local hire policy a few years ago and recognized this burden on contractors. So it spent around $4.5 million on finding and training local workers and helping contractors find them. Nashville hasn't said yet if it's willing to put in any funding if the amendment passes here. In Nashville, I'm Emily Seiner for Marketplace.
More positive earnings news before we go that's good for taxpayers, too. The Wall Street Journal reports that mortgage finance company Freddie Mac will pay back the U.S. Treasury Department $3.9 billion in September. That's after Freddie Mac reported a big increase in income over last year, right around $4 billion, in fact. Once that payment clears, Freddie Mac will have paid back $96.5 billion in bailout loans that it got from the Treasury after the 2008 financial crisis. In New York, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.